Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Angry Dorks podcast. We're just putting our headphones on and eating Panda Express because we're living the dream here. We got Ed Greer.
Hey, what is up, buddies?
And Matt Blackwood.
Yep, right here.
Bam.
Okay, now today we're going to experiment. It appears as though Matt Blackwood has decided he wants to fuck with the sound effect board. So throughout the day, you'll see him trying to play with that, with the appropriate rhythm and elan that it takes.
Yeah. here's a sound.
That was the first fail.
This is so stony. Like, this sounds like the stoniest opening to a thing I've ever seen.
This is our worst podcast ever.
Already.
So, what were we going to talk about today, Ron?
No one has rants, I assume?
Oh, I had a rant. I completely forgot what it is. In keeping with the stoner theme.
Nice. Okay, well, then what we're talking about is basically elitism in the nerd world. We're going to talk about the idea that maybe it's not so cool to constantly be like, your taste sucks.
Well, is that, though, is that part of the nerd world, or is it like the nerd world impacting on the regular world? Because I've seen a lot of things that suggest that our society right now, due to the internet and the instant availability of criticism, that we've become a more critical society.
Oh, I guess that's a good point. I think a big deal is, like, I've talked to people a couple times now who've gone to different comic book shops.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
That was me intimidating you with my new soundboard skills. Because now I know how to work this thing. I'm a quick learner. This is my superpower. And I'm going to be using this from here on out.
It's going to be awesome.
So be prepared for me to be half paying attention to the conversation because I have a new toy, like a child.
New toys. Woo!
Okay. But yeah,
going into comic book shops and having, like, you want to buy something, maybe it's a little bit goofy or whatever, and the comic book, you know, owner is like, really, you're going to buy that? That's so fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Or something along those lines. Oh, yeah, thanks for supporting corporate, you know, like, however they decide to be, like, that I'm so much better, I know so much more, and
I've this is the thing that I keep noticing, especially more so at stores in LA, and it was more so in Tallahassee as well, which was a big college town, than in the small towns that I've lived in. But I notice people recommending the same indie comics to everybody, no matter what they say they like. You know what I mean? When I worked at a comic book store and somebody was like, oh, I'm looking for a toy or a thing, I'm looking for a comic for a 10-year-old who likes this, whatever. I'm looking for something for me. I would always say, what do you like? What does he like? What does she like? You know what I mean? I'm constantly, okay, well, here's something that's kind of along those lines. Like, it's not something that I'm a fan of necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's like, oh, well, he just loves the Transformers cartoon. I'm like, man, there's like three Transformers titles in comics that could get him right into there, you know? Yeah. I don't like it, but that could be something that he's into. But I noticed that these people...
Yeah, Joe Star. Matt Blackwood doesn't like Transformers.
I noticed that a lot of these... I mean, let's face it. I mean, they're kind of hipstery people that work at these comic book stores that are like, oh, you know, what they need to read is Daniel Clowes. They need to get rid of that Transformers stuff. You know, you're going to check out this new Daniel Clowes book. And you're like... They're not going to be into that. You just drove away a fucking customer.
Exactly.
Well, and I to be fair, though, so I could be devil's advocate on some level, I don't see so much of that shit as what you guys said about, the fake-ass recommendations that are just as uniform as anybody's commercial recommendations. If every fucking asshole tells you to read Scott Pilgrim, then all of a sudden Scott Pilgrim isn't indie anymore.
Yeah, and then Scott Pilgrim is the big corporate thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
As Iron Man likes to say.
Dude, and I think it's one of these things where also you run into a little bit of, I don't know, a lot of these people, record store workers. Fuck off. record store guys and fucking, you know, comic book people. They all want to be taste makers. That's like what part of they think their job is, to make the taste. you know. So,
yeah, but sometimes that shit tastes like ass.
Well, I mean, the only time I've had a problem with a comic book store owner, back in Kansas City, this guy Rick, rest in peace, he hung himself on the bottom of Clint's Comics.
Well, okay.
Because Richard hung himself. Richard hung himself. It's a D.I. song. I don't have a clue.
But he basically would, like, throw your fucking comics at you. Like, it was just a habit.
What?
Like, he would, like, put them in the bag real smooth. Put them, you know, where they're stacked up.
You'd bag and board them and everything?
He'd just do it real smooth. And then when he was handing them to you, he would just inevitably chuck them at you. It was crazy.
Do you think it might have been, like, an OCD thing? Like, he didn't want to touch your gross ass?
No, he threw them at everyone. That was
no, I don't mean you in particular. Oh. I meant like everybody that comes into the store. He doesn't want them to accidentally brush his hand, so he's like, yeah, over there.
No, I mean, he obviously had problems, but they weren't really OCD. And then, but the other one was a dude that works here, and there's a comic book store in the Valley that will remain nameless, where this douchebag literally rolled up to me. I'm chilling out in the comic book store looking at comics, and I happened to pick up the new Spider-Man, the Ultimate Spider-Man, who's like black and Latino or whatever. And the guy comes over to me instantly and goes, "Why the fuck they got to make Spider-Man black, man? This is stupid, man. Nobody buy these comics, man." And then for 20 minutes, he tells me how inferior this is and how stupid it is and how, why is North Star gay?
But wouldn't the new Spider-Man have more fast twitch muscle fiber?
Well, see, but that's the thing. It doesn't. He's saying it doesn't sell comics and he doesn't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
See, I disagree with this, and I was having this argument with Molly Mahan the other day. You might know, Geekscape writer.
Molly's awesome.
Because she posted this this article by a female comics writer whose name eludes me right now. I don't remember, but she was writing something for Marvel. But
I saw this when I read this.
She was blaming, basically, she was saying the reason that that female comics were failing is, I mean, she was basically blaming the consumer. She's like, it's because you guys don't buy women comics and blah, blah. And I'm like, bullshit. If that was true, no fucking woman comic would make it past issue 6. They would keep canning them.
Yeah.
The truth is, they're getting to issue 20-something. They're getting to issue 40-something. They keep doing it. And you know why? Because when it's a quality book, when it's got good writing, it's got good art, people are into it and people get into it. And you know what they do? Because they're not flagship characters, and I feel like this goes, I assume this goes with the black characters as well,
mm-hmm.
but because they're not flagship characters, they go, hey, something's really succeeding about that. If they can boost the numbers on She-Hulk like that, think of what they could do for Spider-Man. Yoink. Artist gone.
And as soon as
the artist goes, I mean, like, it doesn't matter as much as the writer. But at the same time, the artist is like all the actors, you know?
It is.
And when somebody replaces the actor, I mean, shit, Spartacus, I fucking loved that show. And when that guy died, when Andy Whitfield died and they replaced him with another actor, I couldn't even watch it anymore. I tried like 2 episodes. I'm like, this is gone for me. This is done. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, take your favorite show and replace all the fucking actors on it with somebody that looks kind of like him. You know what I mean? Take Justified and replace Timothy Oliphant with what's that guy's name? Josh Duhamel, because they look a little alike. Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same fucking show.
Well, I think one thing that would be really cool for comics, I do believe, is if certain companies would try to kind of lock dudes up in like almost athletic contracts. Like, if you draw this book and it maintains XYZ sales for X amount of time,
you get this amount of money.
You get this amount of money, which would influence people to kind of stay, you know what I'm saying, on a book until they could reach those numbers. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're getting Skrilla for staying on a book. So, and they can also like take a vacation or something. They get vacation time to do, like, if they build up a certain amount of issues to kind of do while they're taking a break.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, okay, dude, like, do like 2 extra issues. They take a big ass long break. We'll replace you with an artist for like 2 or 3 issues after that. So like 5 issues, they'll have to go without you. And then you come back.
Yeah.
And during that time, you could do a fucking limited series. You could do your own fucking creator book. You do whatever you want.
That's what I feel like it was like when I was a kid. That's what I always remember from when I was a kid is that you'd have big runs where it wouldn't be like 100 issues in a row like Ultimate Spider-Man was. It wouldn't be like that many crazy issues in a row of the same artist or whatever, but you'd have like a 60-issue run where it was mostly the same artist, and then every once in a while they'd have a fill-in while that artist had some time off or some time to catch up or whatever. Like they would always have a fill-in for Dale Keown on the Hulk.
Right.
Because Dale Keown's fucking awesome, but way too intricate. You know what I mean? He took way too long, and that's why he went away with Image, and then he was too slow for Image. And they're like, "Look, man, I know this is all creator owned, and we're all our own boss, but as your own boss, you need to fire yourself because you are too fucking slow."
Yes.
And then he had to go and form his own thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think the big thing is when we were kids, everybody in Marvel and all that they were a smaller company. And I think when you make a smaller company, it's you only have so many people to work with at some point. And now it's so big. And it's like, have you ever hear about Disney? Like the way Disney works is like they're...
Disney's that company with the cartoons and the mouse and shit?
Yeah, yeah. They have thousands of artists working on projects at a time. Thousands. They're almost like cubicle artists.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that sound effect?
I don't know what any of them sound like until I play them, man. I won't know if it's good or not.
I think you're terrible at sound effects.
How am I supposed to know? It says whistle. How am I supposed to know it's not a wolf whistle until I find out?
Look, man, I don't want to sound like an elitist, but you are terrible.
Yeah, that's the worst sound effects present.
Okay, you got better. You got better.
So, are we going to talk about like elitism as far as nerds judging other nerds?
Yes, I think that would be a good thing too.
Okay, because here's my thinking on it. There is not one single spectrum of nerdiness. A lot of people feel like there is. You know, like that. Okay, this is the nerdiest thing. You know, like, oh, here at the bottom is anime and then LARPing. And then, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Oh, and at the top is like, oh, well, if you're nerdy about comedy or if you're nerdy about TV, like that's not as big a deal, whatever. Okay. I'm not saying there is one spectrum. I'm saying that everybody has their own spectrum.
Yeah.
And everybody on that spectrum has some dial, some point where where that dial hits into red and they're like, no, too nerdy for me. I got to walk away. You know what
right.
I mean?
You know,
a lot of people, that's LARPing. A lot of people are like, no, as soon as you put on a costume and say you're that guy, I'm out.
Well, yeah, no, I mean...
Which, like, cosplay is, like, on the line, where you're like, I'm putting on the costume, but look, I'm still Bill. I'm still Bill, okay? I'm dressed like Gideon, okay?
Well, don't you know what those are like? One is going all the way transsexual. The other one is just being a cross-gender dressing, transgender dresser or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're both pretty fucking weird.
Ignore me. Ignore me.
they're both pretty fucking weird for people who aren't into that.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm just thinking, you know, cosplay. To me, cosplay, my nerd dial doesn't go that far.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I actually enjoy it. Like, yeah. I'm probably not going to do it. Although, if I got in better shape, I'll probably do Gohan.
I will say that you will find the best looking nerds in cosplay.
Yeah,
in the cosplay. Because, like, look, when you're a little chunky, you don't want to dress like Superman because everybody's going to go, hey, look, chunky Superman.
Yeah.
You're like, nobody wants that, you know? But like, if you're ripped, if you got that six pack, you're like, oh shit, Leonidas again this year, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've seen a lot of dudes embrace their sexy at Halloween time being like fucking Leonidas or fucking Conan. Yeah. That was actually appropriate almost.
I'm trying.
What the hell was that? What was that called?
A chick orgasm.
It was female grown.
Oh, nice. Good work.
Okay, but anyway.
I'm going to be the guinea pig, and next week he's going to be doing this.
Right.
No, well, I would just keep talking.
Oh, well, we got the bathroom.
I'm just going to do what I do well. I'm not going to expand.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Okay.
But here's the thing. Elitism to me in a kind of captive community, which is what nerds kind of seem to be.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's like, oh yeah, these Jews are better than those Jews in the concentration camp we are all inhabiting.
Yeah.
You know, that it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
But at the same time, I gotta say, I can't do board games, bro. Like, it's weird.
Oh, really? Like tabletop?
I really
board
can't.
Board games?
I really can't, dude. I mean, and you know what it is? It's not even my aversion to it. It's not even like magic, okay? I fucking hate magic because I tried to like it. I haven't even tried to like board games, bro.
Okay. Hold on.
They're so fun.
You didn't play board games when you were a kid?
Yeah. Okay. And that's the association that
okay,
I have.
Okay, what games did you play when you were a kid?
All the regular ones, like fucking Monopoly and...
Shit. Piece of shit. That's a piece of shit game.
Well, no.
Have you ever played Settlers of Catan?
No.
And, this is what
Chris Edwards and a bunch of dudes are telling me that it's like really cool because it's like take over the world without war and with industry and all that stuff.
That's an okay game. That's an okay game. I've played it a lot. And
that's
with
like
my
a low
brother.
Level. That's, for me, that's like a low level. You know what I mean? Like it's not like it's House on. What is it called? House.
It's pretty simple. Betrayal at House on the Hill.
That's a really fun one.
That's a really interesting game if you're a horror fan. If you're a fan of horror movies, that is like it pulls in like it's one house and maybe it's haunted by whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's a different game every time because you're drawing to see what it's haunted by and also who among you is helping out the monster of whatever it is. Like maybe one of you turns into a werewolf. Maybe one of you, the first one I played, it was like, it was living plants. It was like a carnivorous plant. So it was kind of like an Audrey 2 situation. And one of you is the plant caretaker. And I ended up being the plant caretaker and I killed everybody else. So I won.
Yeah. So sometimes the group wins if they beat the bad guy. And sometimes
there is no betrayer, so everybody wins.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's no betrayer, and it's just people versus the monsters, and then the monsters win, and everybody dies. So it can be a lot of fun, but yeah, I mean, I understand that, okay, it's complex, and there's a lot of rules, and you're going to give up your evening for it. But I mean, such a fun thing to do, a group activity.
It's just me having, for probably a few years, a paucity of people I would want to kick it with for 4 hours doing any fucking thing under any circumstance.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, when I played with Andy Sill, Joe Dosh, and one of his roommates, and they were rad. You know what I mean? Hanging out with rad people, really, the game is sort of, like, just there, and you're hanging out socializing with the people.
Right. See, and that's the thing I've probably been missing in my life.
Socializing with people who aren't shitbags.
Like to tell you, socializing with dick bags is no good.
That is pretty much what happens when I sing. I don't like you, Matt Blackwood. I'm just kidding.
Headshot.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I fucking threw a blow to your face.
So... this is inordinately funny to me. like I said, elitism, it's pretty funny when such a put-upon group can act like they can afford to be elitist on shit. Like,
exactly.
I think it's funny. Like, I go on this thing called io9.com, which I guess is, like, probably Nerd Junior or something. But to me, it's, like, where I go to see what so-called nerds and real media heads want to, like, talk about, like, spoilers and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And to a man and woman, unfortunately... They're either this uber liberal, read everything into everything, hippy dippy, dipshit artist fuckface, or they're this venal, commercial monster person who's just all about the bottom line and how do they do this effect and how do they do that effect and how many numbers will it do and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, who the fuck are these people? Why the fuck are these people the people in charge of talking about shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's either some dude who's obsessed with the numbers that it did, or some person who wants to explain away every flaw that's in the thing, or some person who, like, won't admit that there's any flaws to the thing. It's just, I'm confused as to how critical I should be.
That's interesting. I heard today that there's basically two types of audience members for Magic. That there's the people that go full in of they just want to be blown away. They want to marvel at what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then there's the people that just want to figure out how the trick is done. You know, uh-huh. they just want to point out like, no, see, his hand is under the table at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to kill joy.
I feel like I'm in between. Like when I was listening to that, I felt like I was in between that. And when you were just saying that just now, I felt like I was both and neither of those.
Right.
I love wondering, man, how did they do that? And if I, you know, Yeah, I love wondering that. And I'm also amazed at the skill involved and that they were able to do it, that they were able to fool me. It's so impressive and fun.
Yeah. I know it's fake. It doesn't matter that it's fake. And I have a great time watching it.
I don't care if I figure out how to do it. It still amazes me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because usually it's something I couldn't do.
Yeah.
All right. And it's like there's effects nerds now. And you know what's messed up? I've read like 3 or 4 Cinefex books. Those little $8 magazines that are like, they're done in like what, landscape? Like the magazine's like a landscape. So it's a little landscape magazine that costs $8. And you flip through it and there's a billion pictures of all these different effects from movies. Dude. I read like 4 or 5 of those, and now I'm just dissatisfied with every fucking thing, bro. I think I'm so fucking smart. Like, I looked at that Jack of the Giant Slayer shit. Mm-hmm. That shit looks awful to me, bro.
Does it?
Like, the way that the CGI is done looks awful to me. It looks, like, really busy, like the worst parts of, like, Transformers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't feel as though those vistas are real. I don't feel like I'm there. I don't feel like they did enough real shooting against real plates like Lord of the Rings did.
Yeah.
You know, like, far be it from me to like Lord of the Rings in any fucking way.
Well, but it looks amazing. Well, no matter what you think,
looks amazing 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that they kind of use like miniatures, like real miniatures shot with forced perspective. And guess what? I'll spruce it up with just a little baby bit of CGI.
You're a fucking elitist.
No, I mean, I really
You're like a heckler, man. I just, that was like covered my punchline, you bitch.
No, you really did say that I'm elitist, and I really do think that I am one of those people who, if I don't like the way this shit is rendered, I'm checking the fuck out.
Well, and you know, like, I have a ton of jokes about how annoying it is that they fuck up things from the comics. And then that can be considered elitist too. It's like, well, no, it should be exactly the same. Really? Should it be exactly the same?
Right.
You know,
right.
How about allow fictional characters to be fictional?
And the funny thing is, what's hilarious to me, though, we could talk about this as far as this hypercritical culture, elitist culture, that shit you just said. Dude, most of the time when I look at changes that movie dudes make when they're really trying hard, like the Marvel movies have tried, they're all better than the comics. I'm sorry. Bruce Banner's so much cooler in the Avengers than I've ever seen him.
Like,
I read the Hulk for 300 straight issues when fucking Peter David was writing that shit. It seems like he wrote 300 issues, probably only about like 200. But he wrote like a bunch of issues in a row.
It seemed to me that Peter David always preferred the Hulk to Banner, though.
Well, I get that, but it was also a situation where, no, you know what? I think he appreciated the Hulk. He didn't make the Hulk into such a monster that you couldn't appreciate where the fuck he was coming from, like a lot of writers did. I think a lot of writers kind of acted like they empathized with the Hulk, but really, they just set him free to bust up a bunch of shit, conveniently made a situation where the shit he was breaking was the shit that was supposed to be broke, and then when Homeboy wakes up and he's a human again, it's like, man, it's fucked up, you gotta tote that monster around, dog.
Well, I felt like the way Peter David wrote him was that the Hulk was a chunk of Bruce Banner, that it was a part of Bruce Banner, that when he was writing Bruce Banner, Bruce could never access. And so he was like, he was a partial person whenever you were dealing with Bruce Banner, which made you kind of not like him. And the Hulk was full on. He was only those parts of him. He was only the rage, so whatever. He was full on, and you felt like he was actuated. You know what I mean?
You always feel like Bruce Banner's because kind of a whiny bitch.
Bruce Banner, what Bruce Banner ended up being was a bomb that's not going off, which we don't give a shit about. We're bored by. We don't want to look at a bomb not going off. We want to see the explosion.
Which is exactly why the change that they made to the intrinsicness of the character, and of course it all comes from the books, but the bottom line is the few tiny teaspoons that they took out of the character from the overall run were that Homeboy is a bomb about to go off.
Yep.
And guess why Banner's so dope? Because every fucking second of every day, he's stopping a bomb from going off. And the one time he decides to let it blow up, he blows up the exact right shit.
Yeah. That's dope. Hulk angry. You not like Hulk angry.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was excellent.
Good work.
Yeah, all right. I'll try. I'll keep trying it today. You know what? You know what? Everybody who listens, send us tweets and Facebook messages and let us know whether you want this nonsense to continue next week.
Yeah, let us know. We'll do it.
We'll do whatever you guys say.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to the point, like a lot of the stuff that Marvel is doing to change the character, are better. The fact that Captain America is actually super strong instead of just lifted 800 pounds and shit, just like the comic books, is better.
Yeah.
Banner is better than the fucking Banner in the books. And the Hulk is just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tony Stark, dude, in the books, he's such a tool. Literally, he's a tool. And he's so cool in the movies. Yeah, even Iron Man 2.
In the books,
they're starting to make him cool in the books now.
In the books, didn't you always prefer War Machine?
Yeah.
No, because War Machine was black. And so they always saddled him with some ugly-looking armor, some douchebag guns coming out of it, making it look like Rob Liefeld.
I liked that armor. I always preferred that armor.
Man, War Machine was not cool. I, when I was a kid, I really kind of resented War Machine. Because all they had to do was let the motherfucker have his own, like, real, like, Iron Man suit and be the Iron Man of the fucking Oakland or something. You know, yeah. Just fuck it. You know, have him be Iron Man of somewhere the fuck else. Let him be the U.S. agent of something. Which is, I guess, what War Machine is. But he seems so, I'm going to shoot the shit out of everybody.
Yeah,
I don't see how that's a progressive black character.
No, it's not.
And he's militaristic, which is cool. There's a lot of black folks in the military. And I love the fact that Rhodes really is like a lot of the black people in the military. He's kind of...
He's a hawk.
Like, yeah, he's like raceless. He's raceless. He's just all about duty and shit. You know? Yeah.
It is kind of cool. I was thinking about, like, because the thing about elitism is that it chases away people who you could let into the club.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to refer to nerd as a club, but I mean, I feel like we're, by being elitists in any situation, you chase away, you know, the continuation of a great culture by being assholes about it. Like, I mean, you know, at times it does irritate me when someone comes in and pretends to know more than they know and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, like, if someone's there just trying to learn and get better or enjoy what you enjoy, why not encourage them instead of being like, oh, you don't know about Deadpool?
Like, I mean, you're super right, though, where it's like somebody will come up to you and they'll be like, man, I think this takes place during that Wolverine run where, like, he was temporarily the Hulk or something. And then it's just like, shut the fuck up.
You don't
shut
know
up.
What the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I do get that.
The way I feel about it is, I mean, like, think about being that kid going into the comic book store and seeing all the stuff and going like, oh yeah, I heard of this TV show, I heard of this movie, whatever, what's this? And, you know, you're either faced with the guy who's like, you don't get this, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to understand this, you little tool, whatever. Right. Or you get the guy that's like, you, Avengers? Oh my God, you got to check this out, whatever. And I feel like, in my opinion, the guy that's, you're not going to get it, is that's like the epitome of hipster for me.
Yeah.
And the guy that's like, oh my God, this is so cool, I can't stop talking about it, I'll talk about it to you too, is a nerd.
Yeah.
And that,
elitist
kind of,
nerds aren't really nerds. They're sort of hipster.
They are. They're just being shitty about it, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, like the worst version of a nerd is a hipster.
You know, it's funny though, but that culture lived a long time before the so-called hipster, because if you notice, comic book guy from The Simpsons, while not a truly super-duper accurate, it is a pastiche of the different sorts of comic book person. And comic book guy is nonplussed as fuck, and he's not hip at all.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
He's nonplussed by everything. He's over it. He's jaded, but he's not hip. So it's like there's.
Well, I think he represents that to a large degree here. He represents those older comic book readers that would always be in. They're always in every comic book store that you come across them, and you're like, what are you reading? And you're like, oh, I'm reading this new Captain America. Captain America hasn't been good since 1973 when this happened, and blah 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 blah. And you're like, yeah, great. I wasn't even alive, dude.
You mean when art looked like somebody just like drew some stick figures?
It all went to hell when they got rid of Dot Matrix. Now everything looks way too realistic and terrible.
Well, no, I.
You know what sounds best? On a record, when you can hear the pops and squeaks, that's when it's real. That's the real stuff. I mean, I feel like it's that same thing. It's everything that you could come with is bad.
Yep.
Because the height of stuff is behind us, so everywhere I look is downhill. And
well, but you know what's funny though? You know what's funny? And I know this is definitely going to be like one of those things where, God, how can you agree with some shit like that? But dude, if you really think about it, okay, there always is a golden period for whatever the fuck you want to talk about. The only thing that I feel as though has gotten better since its original shit or its heyday, let's say, is a James Bond series. These last three, even that middle one, which is kind of stupid, these last three James Bond movies are better than a lot of the James Bond movies.
Skyfall was pretty badass.
I mean, Skyfall was so personal. It was such a personal story. It was like the Dark Knight Returns for fucking James Bond.
No, it really was awesome.
They really kind of hooked him up with a real human story.
Old,
about
beat the fuck
yeah,
up.
I don't think I can do it anymore, James Bond. Who'd have ever thought you would see that? Even in Never Say Never Again, James, you never thought that Sean Connery couldn't do it no more. You just noticed that the nigga had some Franklin Richards up in his hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all you noticed. But he didn't feel like he couldn't do it anymore. But this James Bond in Skyfall couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, he went through the training, couldn't do it. And then when he got out in the field, he was back normal because that's how he works.
It's the game.
It's not practice anymore.
Right. And I just feel like...
practice?
Like, if you look at it, that would be arguably the only thing that's gotten better. Look at... And obviously, you know, technology...
Well, I think art has gotten better.
Well, no, the art I'm talking about, but like the apex of certain characters, like Wolverine, when they first decided to make him a fucking ninja dude with a samurai past or whatever, that was dope as fuck.
Yeah.
Now we're
best
on the...
there is in what I do.
Exactly.
Nice.
Isn't very nice.
And now we're on the 58th iteration of Homeboy doing the Japanese shit.
Yeah.
We're on the 58th iteration of
that's actually the movie they're going to do, too.
Yeah. You can't make a copy of 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 a copy and make it be better, dude.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wrote a story where Wolverine went to fucking outer space with Nightcrawler and became the king of a galactic place somewhere or whatever, I'd be like, wow, you did something different that I've never seen with that character before.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't do anything like that. They just put the motherfucker in Japan again, put the motherfucker in S.H.I.E.L.D. again, put the motherfucker in the mountains again, put the motherfucker as an Indian again. This same shit over and over and over again, and trying to tell me that those shits are better than the first time they did it, which is not true.
Okay, the problem with that is that they are always they're unwilling to move forward because they're afraid of what they're going to lose, which is, I mean, like the high watermark of that is Marvel's midlife crisis, as I like to call it, because it was such a DC like continuity shift move. And also it was because they realized that they didn't want their Spider-Man to be married anymore. He got married way too soon, and they wish they weren't married anymore. And it was like you are
Enter
having
Mysterio.
And it's like do you editors not listen to what you're saying? Like, your wives must fucking hate you. Every time you come home and talk about this at work, of like, if only Spider-Man weren't married, he could have sex with all the hot young girls. And they're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's total extension.
And so they're like, oh man, I wish I had a devil that I could make a deal with. But like for a noble reason. But like seriously want to get rid of my wife. Because the thing was, the result of that story, the reason they did that story was not to save Aunt May's life. The reason they did that story was to get rid of Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The price was the point of that story, and it made it total bullshit. From a dramatic standpoint, it made it complete bullshit, and nobody bought into it. And it doesn't matter that people liked the thing that came after. A lot of people really dug that Spider-Man afterwards. Like, yeah, of course, it's going to be fun. But I feel like the character died for a lot of people. A lot of people were like, well, I can't deal with this shit anymore.
But see, what I'm saying is, you're saying...
I'm saying that's like the high watermark.
But I'm saying that change is something that is both serving the new continuity and also serving the oldster. So it's like, it's almost like somebody who's not willing to embrace that change.
No. No, because that's the ultimate rewind. Because what they said is like, guys, remember that one of the like three changes that we've made in Marvel that have stuck the entire run? We got to undo that shit because we shouldn't have ever made that change. And they rewound it basically to when he was in high school, except he's 30 and living with Aunt May again, and it doesn't make any fucking sense.
I just hate that they didn't have the bravery to just have that bitch leave him. Dude.
Yes, exactly.
He's getting fucked up all day. Monsters are chasing you all day. If they ever find out who you are, you're going to get raped to death with a scorpion.
Or fucking kill her.
Yeah.
You know? Something. Do something and just move forward, and
actually
they will
killing
never
her would
do
be
it.
Badass because Peter Parker would be so.
You know what would be the best?
Be
the best is if she died the exact same way that Gwen Stacy died, and he was like, "Motherfucker, I can't believe I let this motherfucking thing happen again."
Ruin him. Yeah, ruin him. Put him through the goddamn ringer. Do something. Make a change. And this is why a lot of TV shows suck.
Oh, yeah.
After the first bit of them, the first, like, season,
but like
maybe.
Like I said, though, that's what I'm saying, though.
That's why Game of Thrones is bad ass.
Yes. Game of Thrones is great because he has an endpoint and he's, like, willing to move the story forward and kill motherfuckers and change motherfuckers and chop off hands and chop off heads.
It's the intrinsic weakness of serialized art. And I said it before, I say it again. It's the one thing that the normals have right about us is we're willing to watch the same shit over and over again, like fucking Teletubbies. And we act like it's expanding something. Oh, yeah, Psylocke fucking killed a baby yesterday. She's a totally different character than what Jim Lee drew her when I was a kid. No, she's not. Yes. She's even blander than she was when I was a kid.
Do you think the majority of us are just totally willing to accept it?
I think as long as the machine is monthly comics, we will get that criticism. Until they can find a way to movie-ize the books, i.e., yo, a dope-ass fucking 27x47-inch fucking drawn by... Who draws great technology and shit?
Brian Hitch.
Okay, drawn by Brian Hitch.
Oh, well, no, George Perez is better at technology.
I don't think George Perez is better than Brian Hitch at technology. Anyway, okay. Brian Hitch and Brian Hitch
elite
and
as fucking...
No, Brian Hitch and Jeff Darrow drawing a giant graphic album that's 156 pages, fully painted, you know what I'm saying? And it costs $15, and it's coming out in November, and it's going to be, like, a dope-ass shit that you got to buy.
Yeah.
Until they start doing that with the books, they won't be able to really kind of take that step forward. Because like in a book like that, Pepper Potts could die. In a graphic album that comes out twice a year, drawn by the best artists and the best writers, and it comes out and it's like a book.
Yeah.
Dude, people could die in the sequel of books.
That's why the best stories are always Elseworlds. And what ifs?
Yeah.
And what ifs were always the fucking best because you're like, oh, you know what happens at the beginning of this story? At the beginning of this story, Professor X dies. And then we're just going to examine what happens when Professor X dies. And it's like, oh, well, when he dies, he cries out in his mind and it fucks up every psychic on the planet and they all lose their psychic powers. Boom. That's a start.
Right.
Fucking awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, well, and actually, it's interesting that you said that. And normally, I'm not a huge fan of time travel timelines. But this new, all new X-Men, pretty badass. And and it's interesting. I got suggested by, and this is actually what prompted this conversation
about
elitism.
Is this the Bendis X-Men?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's really good.
Is it the one where the old team comes back?
Yeah.
And, they're
and they're going face to face and they're still teenagers, but like 16-year-old Cyclops gets to see grown-up Cyclops after he wasted what appeared to be...
And he's like, that seems like some weird editorial directions.
Yes. Well, I mean...
That's his criticism.
I mean...
He's like, well, that seems awfully arbitrary. Why didn't they just say... why didn't they work it out? Why did they start fighting immediately and have...
He gets hit by a
why didn't they
glass.
Listen to anything?
Why didn't they make a... Why didn't... But Cyclops is like acting like a total dick and his 16-year-old version self is like, oh, fuck, what do we do here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I haven't read all of it yet. I'm only on number four. But and it's interesting that my conversation about elitism came from when I went to this new comic book shop that was a pretty cool comic book shop called Blast Off Comics on Lancashire. Thank you.
Sorry.
You suck. And she and one of the ladies who was the girl who was working there, I asked her, like, oh, why'd you guys open this shop? And she was like, oh, well, you know, I got treated like shit at another comic book shop, and I just wanted to be at a place where we treated customers nicely. You know what I mean? And like, and then I was like, oh, cool. And then I was, you know, talking to her about comic book. What do you think about the new 52? And then she was like, some of it's good, some of it's bad, but, you know, I like Animal Man. It's the first time they've ever made Animal Man cool. Like, that's a miracle. You know what I mean? And then she goes, and I was like, well, as far as Marvel goes, would you suggest anything? And then she goes, all new X-Men. It's so awesome. It's the best thing I've read since Astonishing X-Men.
Oh, that's high praise.
Yeah. And then, but that's what I'm saying. Like, and she, you know, referenced pretty much one of my favorite runs of comics. So I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And it's good. It's definitely good.
See, now that's a way to sell it, because if you know, I don't know how many times I've had somebody say to me, you know, like, oh man, this is great. It's just like Grant Morrison's new X-Men. And I'm like, check out. I'm done with you. Like everything you tell me now, I'm going to disagree with, because I fucking hated Grant Morrison's X-Men.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, Bendis is doing a great job, and the art is pretty awesome. I think it's
the Dodsons
name.
Huh? Is it the Dodsons that are doing the art? Terry Dodson and somebody Dodson?
I don't think so.
Is it really clean?
German art? Name. Yeah, it's pretty clean.
Stuart Immonen.
No. Nope. Stuart Immonen, I think.
It's way, it starts with a W. I can't think of it right now. I have it at home.
I think it's Stuart Immonen.
Maybe it is. I could be remembering incorrectly.
Well,
you can look
it
up.
I think he's inked by Von Graubaker or whatever. Yeah.
That's
so,
the inker.
Yeah, that's Stuart Immonen inked by Von Graubaker.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, Stuart Immonen's best
work. He's the one who's doing the pencil.
His best work so far was Next Wave.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so far it looks great. The art is great. The concept is, I mean, you know, time travel is always a little bit weird anytime you do it. But Beast is like having a second mutation. It looks like he's going to die. And he just wants to do something good with his life, because he feels like everything is falling apart. And so he decides, and then somebody makes a suggestion of, if only, you know, the young Cyclops could see what the old Cyclops has become. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And normally he wouldn't mess with time. But in this case, he decides that it may be an extreme circumstance.
Time travel in a situation like that ordinarily would feel kind of like a deus ex machina. But the fact that he's doing it as this is the conceit of the entire story, that this is the premise of this story we've had enough time travelers come through the X-Men that it makes sense that he'd have something. He'd have Bishop's arm, or he'd have some shit.
Exactly.
No, and that's really cool.
Trevor Fitzroy's entire corpse, probably.
He's already that's pretty funny. He's already kind of shown that he can be kind of a treasure trove of other technology.
Yeah,
they've done that in stories where he knows extra dimensional technology, this kind of technology, that kind of, he just sort of hoards it up in the X-Mansion. Yeah. So that would be a really cool story. Like somebody, like they always do stories where like somebody breaks up in somebody's crib and jacks all Batman's information. Or da, 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 da. What about breaking up into like some of the places where all the supervillains' like weapons and shit are? You know, like if somebody could get into that place in Superman's house where he's got all those weapons that could even hurt him.
Takes all of them.
Or just take all of them.
Yeah.
He could like run the world for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is a lot in the DC universe. Yeah. The JLA comes and fucks your ass up pretty quick.
Usually. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, there was a fun Punisher run. This is only a couple issues, I think, but he basically he took down a bunch of illegal arms dealers, and he came across a weapons shipment, and what it turned out to be was an AIM weapons shipment. So it was all like these crazy fucking weapons, and he's like, going to town. And he just learned to use all this shit, and so he's shooting all these mobsters and stuff with like glue guns and like whatever crap AIM uses. It's pretty fun, though.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, yeah. And one thing I wanted to say about elitism, too, is that there always is an attempt to, when you're trying to legitimize a society, it appears as though you always have to kind of have an elite. You know what I mean?
I guess that's true.
It's always that way with religion. It was like, okay, when everybody was sitting in the dirt praying to shamans and shit, somebody had to be like, yo, all right, man, I'm a motherfucking shaman, but I'm sitting in the dirt like these fuckers. Make me a chair. And make me a straw hat. Okay, I got a straw hat and a chair. Now I'm better than you. Yeah. And that made the basis for how we kind of took things forevermore. So with nerddom, the only thing you have over anybody else is your either... You can't have... You can't have a superior opinion, because that's impossible. And even asshole nerds know that it is.
Yeah.
So what they'll do is try to back themselves up with all this
facts,
so-called facts. Facts about fictional people kills me every time.
Yeah.
You know, although, like I said... Superman versus the Hulk is not a fight.
Nope, it's not a real fight.
Hold on a second. You can't have a superior opinion. Let's talk about that for 1 second.
You can have a more informed opinion, but at the same time, if you're basing the fact that you have an opinion and that's so superior because you're so informed, what if somebody's uninformed? they don't have a right to their fucking opinion. If you come in totally uninformed and read issue 57 of Iron Man and go, I don't think that was a good issue of Iron Man.
Well, that
and
depends. You, that depends on your definition of opinion, doesn't it? If you think an opinion if you think an emotional response is an opinion, I don't consider an emotional response an opinion. If you say, it's like, oh, hey, what did you think of Les Miserables? Oh, I didn't like it. Oh, why didn't you like it? It was stupid. Okay, well, what was stupid about it? It was dumb. That's not an opinion. You didn't like it. That's an emotional response that you didn't like it. That's not an opinion. And if you have somebody come in and say, "Oh, I thought this was bad. This was rushed." I've heard basically 50-50 on Les Miserables. Half of people hate it. I haven't watched it yet, but half of people hate it. Half of people love it. And I'm like, okay, well, these all sound like informed opinions. Like a lot of people on both sides who like the musical. A lot of people on both sides who'd never seen the musical. And I'm like, okay, well, this is going to go either way. And it's kind of it's kind of a 50-50 shot on this. And it's all based on what I'm bringing into it. I get that, okay. But when you're talking about like, oh, hey, I was having a huge argument with somebody about the Oscars, about, Seth MacFarlane being offensive, whatever. And it was like, these news magazines, or these online magazines, like Huffington Post and Jezebel and stuff like that, attacking him about how insensitive he was, making Chris Brown jokes and making like,
whatever. I didn't think any of that.
Yeah.
Was insensitive,
and it was like all that stuff seemed like completely.
I've heard worse at a Wednesday night at the Liquid Zoo.
Right. We've all heard way worse, but I was saying like, that was all like late night. With David Late Show with David Letterman. Well, Tonight Show stuff. Like that caliber.
It's all context, and it's just like how certain people had weird opinions about like certain parts of Chris Claremont's run with the X-Men. There were certain issues where people would just literally for 22 pages chill the fuck out on different X couches and talk to each other for a whole issue with almost no plot development, but. These are characters we all know and love, and we want to hang out with them. And then at the end, a dragon would come out of a fucking vent or something extra-dimensional would happen. But the whole issue would be more or less wasted.
That's a thing. That's a thing that that will split people, because some people will enjoy that and some people won't. One of my fondest X-Men issues, and I don't know who wrote this. I want to say it was Lobdell, because it was an Uncanny X-Men right after Executioner's song. Mm-hmm. But it's basically them cleaning up the fucking half-destroyed X-Mansion for the millionth time.
Oh, that's interesting, because that's like a thing you'd have to do.
Right. So it cuts back and forth between three or four different, basically one-on-one conversations, one of which is Angel and Beast, who started together, and now one of them's Archangel, and one of them looks like a blue Muppet, you know? And then you got... and one of them is like Gambit and Rogue, and they're always dealing with their crazy, Pyramus and Thisbe bullshit of never being able to touch. And and one of them is like Jubilee and somebody, I don't remember. But the point is, it's Jubilee and Professor X. Mm-hmm. And they're all really interesting conversations. And one of my favorite issues of X-Factor is, the classic. It's one of everybody's favorite issues of X-Factor is they're all just talking to Doc Samson. They're all just getting shit off of their chest. And all it is talking. And the thing is, like, when that's done well, that's amazing. And a lot of that is going to be up to, do I identify with these characters? Do I care?
And let's also say that you need to care about characters. That's something I've been, the more and more books you read, the more you realize, like, if you build a character the right way and really make someone love a character and then kill them at the perfect time.
It's getting better.
That worked.
The batting average is going up.
If you kill them at the perfect time, you care about the character. But if you don't build that character right, if you don't have conversations where you prove that that character is a person you could care about or find interesting or relate to, then you've wasted time. You're wasted. Right. Like, if you just throw some people in there and they're doing some good fights or blah, 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 and then the guy dies at the end, you go, okay, well,
I really wish they had a killed Jubilee a few years ago.
By the way, I also wanted to read the word opinion. There's two definitions they have of it. A view or judgment formed about something not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. Two, the beliefs or views of a large number or majority of people about a particular thing. Now, that I actually find interesting because that's, I mean, that basically means an opinion, a popular belief, I guess.
An opinion en masse? That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that
Okay, but the first one is what we're dealing with here.
Popular opinion.
So it does say not necessarily, it says not necessarily based on fact, but that doesn't mean not necessarily based on data.
Well, and here's the thing. Every opinion's different. For instance, everybody knows I fucking hate dubstep, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But but dubstep is popular. There's a large number of people who listen to it, or it wouldn't be played on the radio. People enjoy it and really do enjoy it.
Right. Okay, let me make this distinction. If you say dubstep is terrible, it sounds like blah, 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 that's an opinion. If you say I don't like dubstep, that is not an opinion.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Well, that's a statement about yourself.
Yes, exactly. That is a statement about what you like and what you don't like. And if you only go so far as to say, I don't like it, it annoys me. That is not an opinion.
No, I agree that you should.
Also, if you haven't seen something or read something, fuck your opinion.
Yeah, you can't have an opinion on it. Well, I mean, and also, but the weird thing is, though, I think a lot of people don't allow the art to inform their opinion. It's like if I was sitting up in Pulp Fiction, right, and I decided that every time somebody said the word nigger, I was going to lose my shit and I couldn't enjoy the motherfucking movie.
Yeah.
I would feel like, oh, damn, I hate this movie. This dude don't understand nothing. But over the course of the movie, the only time I really didn't like it was when Quentin Tarantino was talking to Jules and he said nigga like 7 times.
Yeah.
You are not going to talk to a black gangster with brains in his hair and say the word nigga. I don't care what you got on him.
Yeah.
White boy, you wrote that scene so you could write nigga in your movie.
Yeah.
But I watched Django, and frankly, most of the people who were saying that word were people who would say that word.
Yeah.
Most of the ways it was used was non-gratuitous. It was those people. And a lot of those people got punished, got blown up and killed for doing that.
Yeah. And the thing is, the word slave doesn't affect us the same way. Well, and it should. It should be worse.
Right.
It should be like, look at what slave means. Like, look at what horrible thing it comes with it. That should offend us. It just doesn't. And yeah, I think in this case, nigger in that place.
It had to show you
so much better.
It had to show you what they were really like. And I just despise these movies where they don't show you what white folks was really like. I find that disingenuous.
Yeah, we are a bunch of shitbags.
So, well, if Homeboy wanted to show exactly how fucked up white people were or whatever, then you got to do it. You got to really commit to it. So, you know what I mean?
And perception, your belief and perception forms your opinion 100%. For instance, the other day, I was at a karaoke. There was a girl. I was chatting her. I was like chatting with her, whatever. And then this dude who just really doesn't like women was like, dude, that stupid bitch is trying to get you to buy her a drink.
Right.
And I'm
you
like,
were having a real deal.
And I was having a nice conversation with a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then she went and bought her own drink. And it was like, yeah, your perception is that because you hate women. And so your perception forms that. You think all women want to get free drinks and free money and blah, blah, blah. So everything a girl does makes you see that. And the same thing will happen when you have an opinion about things. And it screws up movies for me too. Because, you know, like maybe I would have enjoyed Spider-Man if they hadn't had the giant hole on his wrist and changed the costumes and blah, blah, blah.
Or maybe like maybe grandma would like Die Hard, but she don't like blood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Die Hard is a really good movie with a lot of emotional shit in it.
Your timing is terrible, man.
I know, that was pretty bad, but check it out. Like, Die Hard is a very good movie with a lot of emotional stuff in it, but it would have too much blood coming out of people's feet from my grandma.
Yeah.
You know,
perfectly understandable.
And her opinion would be, I watched it, I get it, I don't like it. His feet was bloody.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like, what are you
going to
do?
When you say elitism
always has super strong opinions.
And no, I'm not going to be able to break down to grandma that she doesn't have an opinion because she's not willing to articulate for 20 fucking minutes and back it up, dude. There's not too many people that are going to do that for you. So you're going to have to deal with that. So you're going to have to deal with that occasionally. So I think that's a good note as any to leave off on because people are going to have uninformed opinions.
Yeah.
But
if everybody's if everybody's opinions are equal, then nothing means anything.
Well, yeah. I don't think anybody's opinions are equal, but
I could keep talking. I could keep talking with Barry. I could keep arguing this for hours and hours with you.
High fidelity. Opinions cannot be wrong, Barry.
Well, plugs. I'm at Public House tonight, which nice. You won't listen to for another 4 days. So fuck it. Destroys on Twitter.
I'm at Matt Blackwood on Twitter, and you can also listen to my podcast, What Were We Talking About, on iTunes.
And Angry Dorks drops every Wednesday, generally, on iTunes as well. Yay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Nice. Oh,